What about another potential TCH, which would be docetaxel cyclophosphamide, the, quote, TC regimen with trastuzumab as opposed to docetaxel carboplatin?
So I think that's a regimen that's being looked at right now in U.S. oncology. TC, their C being Cytoxan as opposed to carboplatin. And I think that's a reasonable regimen. The preclinical data show the alkylators do just make it into the synergistic category with trastuzumab. The only downside potentially for that regimen is the alkylator is associated with the long-term marrow toxicity and leukemogenicity in and of itself. I think where the field is moving is, and where we'd like to see it move, and I know, again, it probably is bordering on heresy to say this, but if we really understand how some of these tumors are wired, we can begin to think about how we might move chemotherapy out of the picture, even in the adjuvant setting, because we'll have to see what happens with the long-term follow-up of the first-line trastuzumab-bevacizumab data, but it looks as effective as any chemotherapy we ever use in a metastatic setting, and we've got very good response data and clinical benefit data. I think it's ready for prime time and testing. Everyone says, well, women won't be willing to take that chance. When we talk to the advocacy community, it turns out that the patients are more than willing to consider trials that would enroll them, given all the potential risks, would enroll them to a non-chemotherapy arm to see how it performs against chemotherapy combinations. I think we're getting close to the time that needs to be tested. I think we've been traditionally reticent to take on some new concepts. I mean, when we launched the 006 trial, we were told we were doing really unethical things by even considering a non-anthracycline regimen based on 25 years' worth of experience showing the benefit. And then the results are what we've already covered. I think we really do need to start thinking outside the box. We're sort of at the wall in terms of deriving efficacy from chemotherapy combinations and sequencing them this way or giving the dose as dose-dense regimens. We've pretty much reached the wall. Now the question is dialing back the toxicity and maintaining the efficacy. And I think that's where the field should move, and that's where we need to start thinking. The early clinical data would indicate that if you selected the target population and you know that the tumor is wired that way, that it makes all the sense in the world that it should work. Even in the trials that were, quote, failures, like ARESA and lung cancer, we know that had they identified the subgroups that were likely to respond, they would have had very different outcome data if they tested only those patients, as opposed to all of lung cancer, which is what they did. So, yes, the field's moving in that direction, and I think we're going to improve efficacy data, we're going to improve safety data, and I think we're going to change some of these numbers literally within the next 2 to 5 years. We've got 3 decades worth of chemotherapy trials and then some hormonal therapies. At least in breast cancer, it's had the advantage of breaking the disease into 2 subcategories, hormone receptor positive and negative. We now know that there are many more categories than that, probably 6 to 7. The same is going to be true for colorectal cancer, for lung cancer, for prostate cancer, essentially for all the major malignancies. It's just that breast cancer has been ahead. But all this kind of work is going on in the other major histologies and showing that there are subclassifications. There isn't going to be very many stories like CML, where one molecular pathway defines the disease, BCR-ABL. Instead, there are going to be many roads to roam for these major histologies. And I think when we understand what pathways are active and driving, we inhibit those, I think our outcome data, our efficacy data, and our safety data are going to be vastly different than what we are now.